Hello.
Hello.
Oh, this is the one.
I think
there's
another one.
This one's
fine. Yeah, it's not working, but.
Oh.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of Lee Pass and Chill, brought to you by no one. We don't have a partner this week. We'll hopefully get one for you next week. I know you're missing it.
Aww.
I know. As usual, I'm Olga Nulich. I write about basketball. Yeah, as usual. Like I'm usually Olga. I'm always Olga.
When the sun goes down, though.
Oh. I write about basketball for foxsports.com.au. There are only three of us today. I'm joined by Gadi Natalevitz and J.R. Smith. What? I made a mistake with his first name. So, that's Ted Smith.
Here's good one.
Thank you. That's Ted Smith. Here's what happened. A trade was about to go down. This was on Friday evening? Saturday?
No, this was on Saturday.
Australian time.
Adrian Wojnarowski, the truth. Drop the bomb on us.
Woj.
That a deal was agreed in principle.
It was centered around Trevor Ariza, who would have been sent to Washington Wizards. The Suns were supposed to get
Austin Rivers,
Wayne Selden, and
it was
another ancillary player,
Mr. Brooks,
a Brooks of a kind. And in turn,
and then Kelly Oubre to Memphis.
Kelly Oubre Jr. would have gone to Memphis. Picks were exchanged all round. In some manner, that was the case.
For about 5 minutes, that was the case.
For a moment, that was the case. Then the issue happened. What happened was, I'll mention it. So the Suns thought they were getting Dylan Brooks out of Oregon.
22-year-old,
really promising player. The Grizzlies thought they were giving them
Marshawn Brooks. 29-year-old, taken in the 2011 draft.
Once labeled the next Kobe, but actually not the next Kobe.
Not quite.
So that wasn't ideal. Both teams, or every team, thought, oh God, we can't do this now. And the deal died.
The deal is dead, as Adrian Wojnarowski famously tweeted.
Yes. So incompetent.
Let's just preface this with, that was the initial reporting of how that situation went.
Right.
In the following hours, Shams and Candace Buckner, I believe, both reported that it wasn't quite that way and they had been talking about it, but it's far funnier to think that they thought they were getting two different players.
The crux of it is just that there was just a miscommunication on everyone's part, apparently.
Yeah, but...
A trade died because the first name.
Except for the Wizards. The Wizards were just like, we just want Trevor.
Do you think they're on the phone writing these names down, or it's an exchange of emails?
Well, the report was essentially that Washington were acting as the middleman in the deal, because it's a three-team deal. Phoenix were discussing about Brooks, and Memphis were discussing about Brooks, and apparently Washington didn't do a great job of being that little middleman and making sure everyone was going to be happy. I mean, everyone was happy because it got to that trade call, apparently.
Right.
And that's when it all went to...
So they just wrongly assumed there was one Brooks on that team.
They assumed that, like, when Brooks was named, they were just like, it's obviously Dylan Brooks because everyone wants Dylan Brooks, right?
Yeah.
No one wants the other Brooks.
Yeah.
So it has to be him.
Yep.
It wasn't him.
Marshawn is a sneaky capital letter in the middle of his name, by the way.
The S.
Mm. What?
Yeah, like DeMarcus has the M, or DeAndre has the A in most cases.
LeBron's got the big B.
Yeah, for anyone keeping track. I feel like you have to be, like, good, though, to have the capital letter. Like, you... Like, it's like a sign of respect. Like
DeMar DeRozan has two of them.
Mm.
That's fun. But Marshawn Brooks, it's weird because it's not like a hard letter. That's like a S-H.
Marshawn.
Yeah. Like if my name was like Matthew and the T was capitalized, that sounds silly.
Yep.
Old Gun would be pretty good.
Old Gun?
Old Gun.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
with like an apostrophe after the L.
Umlaut.
It's like old gun.
That's not how.
Okay, we'll just leave.
If I was from like Western.
If
City,
names were not our names, then names would be different. Yes.
Correct.
Okay, let's continue.
So what I wanted to do and there was reluctance to do this, but I wanted to have fun on the podcast.
I wanted to
somewhat reenact the trade call, or at least a portion of it.
Because we were talking about it upstairs and just we thought, how funny would it be outside looking in, being a fly on the wall in that moment when both GMs realized they were talking about two different humans.
The realization.
Yeah. Again, if you're a fly on a wall, not if you're part of either of these organizations. It's bad.
So this is a potential way of how this trade call could have gone down. Adam Silver on the phone, presumably he's the person on the phone for every trade call. He throws out all right, guys, we're doing this. All right, guys, here's what's happened. You've told me every major part of your deal. That's great. That one other piece, let's have some fun, right? Say it just, both of you guys say it just at one time. So, you know, you say the name of this player and the deal's done. You're right. On the count of three, one, two, three.
Marshawn.
We're getting.
And Brooks.
With
the hard S. Marshawn Brooks. Who did you think?
Sorry, who's that?
I'm sorry, what? Guys.
But
guys.
Dylan Brooks is good, right?
Guys. I think we have a misunderstanding. What was that? What was that name again? On the count of three, one, two, three.
Marshall.
Dylan Brooks.
Okay. Marshall Brooks.
Okay. We have a problem.
And scene.
Thanks.
First bit of improv that has been done on the League Pass and Chill podcast.
This is my master plan to turn Fox Sports into just a giant theater sports company.
If you couldn't tell, guys, we were not prepared for that scene.
Yeah.
I was so prepared.
And who
well trained.
Who would I be to deny Olgan an opportunity at some improv after I was struck down by some sunstroke last week and couldn't go to our preordained improv League Pass and Chill date? It was meant to be all four of us.
If you had gone to it, you might have been better at this.
I definitely didn't have a way out of what we just did there.
I mean, Olgan definitely wasn't like practicing Adam Silver accents like before this podcast.
It wasn't a bad American accent, though.
I do a good American. That's not what Adam Silver sounds like, though.
Okay,
no. So he sounds more breathy.
So you were bad at your role.
I wanted to give him a character.
He got the country right. He's definitely American.
Thank you.
But yes, I mean, this was one of the most bizarre situations. It's like, it's up there on like the all-time NBA moments. I think.
You're talking about that improv or the.
No. The improv's not far.
Okay.
But the actual reporting and the trade and the deal is dead. All that stuff has to be up there with one of the all-time moments.
Oh yeah. Just when we found out, I don't know who it was, what the tweet was or what the moment was when we realized, oh no. Like, this is real. Yeah.
It was like every NBA insider at the same time in one, like, huge wave was just like, the deal is no longer. And before that, I think Woj tweeted, like, the deal is in peril. Like, it was just getting, like, really dramatic. And the least relevant name in that trade was the reason it all fell apart initially. We should mention that the trade has since, or some version of it.
So the trade that then dropped, which was only a few hours later, basically just not including the Grizzlies at all. So basically avoiding any Brooks drama by all means. It ended up being just Trevor Ariza to the Washington Wizards, a straight trade. So the Phoenix Suns get Kelly Oubre and Austin Rivers.
Yes.
So it just turned out to be just a simple trade.
Yes. Clearly the Grizzlies are not a great organization to do business with. And Dylan and Marshawn will live happily ever after in Memphis.
It's got to be awkward at training.
Oh, it's got to be so awkward.
Being one of those Brooks boys.
As in just, I think being Marshawn Brooks, imagine being like not good enough to be a bad player on the end of a trade, right? Yeah. You're a fill-in player. You're not even good enough to be that.
Can I just say as well, like Kelly Oubre to Memphis, I was so excited about that.
Yeah.
For the 5 minutes that it was a real thing, I was like, damn, that's perfect for him. That's exactly where he should go and like become better as a basketball player, because I really rate him and what he could become. And him going to Phoenix is like,
He's got the ingredients to be a really handy NBA player.
He certainly does.
A long-term pro. But what about how do we think Ariza will fit in at the Wizards?
Well, Gut and I were speaking about, you know, does he start?
I think he has to start,
like
they do have other options. I think, like, look, Ariza had two really good years in Washington. It's probably the best he's looked. Maybe the Houston season he looked pretty good. But I just think the Wizards are kind of a lost cause. Like, Bradley Beal and John Wall in your backcourt is never going to be a winning formula in the NBA, in my opinion. Like, it's just, they don't play winning basketball. They're all angry at each other all the time. Trevor Ariza might help, I guess, for their locker room like issues.
He'll help.
Yeah, it's much. Like Trevor Ariza helps things, but not by enough for this to be like a huge win for the Wizards. The only thing it does do, I guess, is they were going to have to, or they would have had to pay a certain amount of money to keep Kelly Oubre next year in the offseason. I think he was heading into restricted free agency.
Yep.
And I could imagine him getting a decent offer. Trevor Ariza's on a 1-year, $15 million deal. They can reassess at the end of the year and figure out who they want to pay and how much they want to pay that person. So
yeah,
I think they know they aren't going to be winning the NBA this year. And it was kind of a move to cut Kelly Oubre loose, I guess. That's, yeah. I think, what you kind of need to judge, whether they were too quick to do that. But Trevor Ariza himself, I don't think, is turning Washington into world
beaters. Yeah, it's like he can be an integral piece on a good team, but he can't be the piece that puts you over the edge.
Mm.
And on Wall and Beal, you have a look at someone like Marcus Smart at Boston, who doesn't put up great numbers. But just like when you watch the game, he clearly helps them win in comparison to the numbers that like Bradley Beal has been putting up some really good stats over the last month. We all know what John Wall can do, puts up highlight plays almost every time he takes a court. They don't help their team win. So, yeah, how would you feel, Olgan, if you were Trevor Ariza going back to Washington?
Well, the whole thing is he wanted to go back to L.A.
Yeah.
He wanted to, lives there.
That would have been juicy, putting him on the Lakers. To see
right.
What he can do.
Yeah. So if he's been implemented there as, you know, this veteran who can really shoot the ball, who can defend, who's a good locker room guy, who's won a championship, then I don't think it helps that it's already been leaked, you know, pretty prominently that he doesn't want to be there necessarily. But look, I think it helps. It obviously helps them. Like right now, they're three games out of the playoffs. I think they're a playoff team. Eventually.
Yeah,
I think they put something together.
They're going to do the same thing that they do every year.
Like, I'll go to the playoffs and
get
like,
knocked out in round one or round two.
They'll lose 4-1 because John Wall will drop 40.
Yeah, John Wall in that game when they're like already 3-0 down in the series, but they win the fourth game and he's like mean mugging on like the scorer's desk because he finally hit a three after like 7 missed attempts. Like that's where this narrative is heading.
Yeah.
And it is really sad though that Trevor Ariza can't go to LA because I feel like that would have been a really good trade to make.
Yeah. I thought he would have. But again, I don't know who they would have.
No, I know. That's the problem. But it would have been exciting because he is a player that would 100% fit in that system.
That's deceptive too. The Wizards being 3 games out of the playoff spot because they are 11 and 18.
True.
That is trash.
But that is also just a summation of how bad the East is, which we're going to talk about later.
And the Wizards have cashed in on that year after year too, sneaking into the playoffs. They had that 1 year where they had a good season and a good playoff run. They celebrated too early in game 6 and that cost them, I think, versus the Celtics.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was John Wall on the scorers table.
Yeah.
This is my home.
Yeah. And every rational person around the world was like, it's game 6, right? Oh, what are you doing? I think I'll watch Washington a bit more closely.
Just because we're interested to see.
Especially after Christmas, see how they go. Because if they can put it together, they've got some good players to watch, like some fun players to watch. You just have to get over the fact that you kind of hate them.
That's true.
You know?
And you know that they're not that good.
Yeah. Beal's good, man. Beal is a good basketball
player. No, I like
individually. You see that jump back three he hit a couple of days ago? He just put someone in a tailspin and then decided to step back. Swish bomb.
Yeah, look, they're so talented individually. A lot of those pieces.
But give me Marcus Smart.
Give me Marcus Smart any day of the week. You mentioned Christmas. I should mention that Christmas is approaching.
What?
Merry Christmas to all those who are so inclined. happy holiday. No, I can say Merry Christmas. Donald Trump brought Christmas, Merry Christmas back. So that's okay to say now.
He brought a lot of things back.
Oh.
decades of discrimination, but we're not going to go there.
We're not going to speak about all of them. So Christmas is around the corner. What the second half of this podcast, later on, we're going to talk about what we want for Christmas.
Nice.
Not like toys and stuff, though.
Yeah. So we're
like NBA things.
NBA things we want for Christmas. Before that, Guardy will sing All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey.
Yes.
I can't wait for that.
So he'll sing that. Ted and I will do the and we're going to do those in the background.
Sure.
So look out for that. just to keep that in mind. That's what's coming up soon. But first,
we're going to get done for false advertising.
No. So it's going to happen. We did improv. This is my show now. Now, James Harden's had a really big week. He's looking... Okay, we're going to settle.
Simmering on the tape.
James Harden is a good NBA player. He knows how to play the game extremely well. The Rockets at this point, they're on a 3-game winning streak. They're kind of working their way back past 500. Right now they're at 500.
Oh, good work, guys.
Which is awesome. Well done on being the number one seed in the West last season and then being 500 in December this season.
Doing great, kids.
So yeah, they're looking like not legit, but they're looking better. Looking like a potential bottom of the West playoff team. Right.
I mean, it's hard not to look better because they've looked terrible.
They've looked horrible, but James
Harden's doing the James Harden thing. Like the Lakers in their win over the Lakers, I feel like every Los Angeles Laker came out complaining about James Harden and the officiating, and it's like he's just that guy. You're just like, I hate you. Mm-hmm. So bloody annoying. But
there's obviously a strong veteran presence on the Lakers, and I don't know if they were so much complaining about that game as opposed to setting themselves up for if they have to play them in the playoffs.
Mm.
Putting it out there, so it's a full year narrative of James Harden getting the benefit of some 50-50 calls.
That's smart, hey.
So many 50-50 calls. Because like LeBron, everyone's like, oh, LeBron defended with his hands behind his back. One, he mostly did that to Chris Paul. And two, the game was almost out of reach when he started doing it. So to me, it looked like planning.
It was a statement,
It looked like future planning, which, you know, James Harden, we were talking about it upstairs before we came down. James Harden, there's never one reason for such a big drop-off that we see in James Harden in terms of comparing his playoff success or lack thereof, comparing that to how well he is throughout the regular season, but he doesn't get as many calls in the playoffs.
Correct.
And if the Lakers can make sure that happens again, it wouldn't surprise anyone if they've played them in round one or round two, the way the West is being so competitive at the moment. But yeah, my take on James Harden, Floyd Mayweather of the NBA, in that James Harden, not an all-time player, but easily one of the best players in the universe at the moment. Floyd Mayweather, one of the best to ever do it. Both boring. Both, can we say shit? Both shit a lot of people.
We don't have any sponsors anymore.
Everyone can watch it and say, yeah, he is good, but I don't want to watch him be good. Not that type of good, because in a league, look, I'd rather watch Jared Allen comb his hair then watch James Harden go to the foul line. I think he went to the foul line 18 or 19.
Yeah, he went 19 times.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
I had this take a while ago. I don't know if it was on the pod or not, but I said James Harden can play the game really well, but he doesn't play the sport in a way that's exciting.
Like Floyd.
Floyd knows how to win.
Yeah.
He doesn't necessarily make the sport exciting.
Yeah.
Compare that to Canelo, for example. He's had two losses, which... Sure, he's had some losses, but he fights the way you want to watch him fight every time, because he's just powerful and he goes at it.
Throwing hammers.
Exactly.
But so Houston, we can see that they're starting to trend in the right direction, and that'll probably continue. Will they finish in the top four by the end of the season? I've still got my doubts on that, because they can make up the games. As I'm looking at it, they're only, four wins out of a top four spot. So, you know, it all happens so quickly in the NBA, especially when you're doing a week-to-week podcast. Like, we record on one Sunday and a team sucks. In 2 weeks' time, they're, like, third.
The amount of times we've recorded where it's either, like, the Grizzlies or the Clippers atop the Western Conference.
Yeah, I mean,
right
last
now,
week,
respectively, they're like fifth and seventh.
Last week, I was ready to give up on the Phoenix Suns last week. I said that was a bad take. They're on two wins on the trot, baby. They're about to have Kelly Oubre rock up Austin Rivers. All right. Western Conference powerhouse.
All right, thanks
baby.
For joining us, guys. We're not going to be here anymore. They're going to cancel us.
Cavs are only 7 wins out of a playoff. Throwing that out there. Mathematical.
We take back all our apologies last week for our bad takes. We're dying on these hills, baby.
that is such an absurd thing, though, because like you look at the Rockets road in like back into the playoffs, I guess. Like right now they're like the, I don't know what number that is, like the 12th seed. And you look at who's in the playoffs. Who's going to drop out? So will the Mavericks come back to earth? Or is Luka Doncic that legit? What's the go there? What about like the Clippers aren't a team I don't think most people would have had in the playoffs.
No.
They're 17 and 2.
They're on that bubble. you know?
Yeah, same with the Grizzlies, I think. And they both look like teams who are very legitimate.
Clippers are 4-6 over their last 10. Their honeymoon may have just come to an end. Yeah. They might be looking around and be like, oh, that's right, we
but
don't
there's
have
a
that
very,
much talent.
There's a very clear move that the Clippers can make if they do want to guarantee playoff basketball, and that is just obviously moving Montrezl Harrell into the starting five and playing him 40
Here
minutes
we go.
A game. So,
it's our weekly Montrezl Harrell update.
Doc, if you're listening,
that's guaranteed success, baby.
No, it's cool. Montrezl Harrell is just like a poor man's Nene. It's cool. It's really cool.
Before we move on, Oaks, in regards to the Mavericks, doing really well, but it wouldn't surprise me if they, I know this is the definition of sitting on the fence, if they went either way, if they struggled from here on in and limped into the playoffs or didn't make it, you know, got pushed out by a team like the Pelicans, Spurs, Rockets, Jazz, who were all sitting out of a playoff spot now. I wouldn't be surprised if those type of teams push out the Mavericks, but he is a rookie. And remember how much Ben Simmons improved after the All-Star break last year. If Doncic gets better this year, which is well within the realm of possibilities, considering it's his first 2 months of the NBA, who knows? The Mavericks could make it.
Yeah, they're in an interesting situation where if they make the playoffs, that's awesome for them.
Yeah.
They get to...
trade. What an all-time trade.
Right. They get to give their rookie, their future, the opportunity to perform in the postseason.
Without any pressure.
Right.
That's the thing.
They're not going to win.
Exactly. Right. If the Mavs make the postseason this year, it's the perfect environment for their young guys to just figure out how the playoffs work.
Just like,
we'll be back here when we're like top five players in the league.
Can you humor me for a second?
Maybe.
Like, probably Dirk Nowitzki's last year, right?
That's what I was about to
if
say.
If they
as well.
Finish in the eighth spot and then beat the first spot from Dirk's last year, like just full narrative flip 180 from the 2010 season, that would, I'm going to delete this and put that all I want for Christmas. That's going to be, that's not really.
We're going to keep all of that.
Ted also likes that, wants that for Christmas. Let's just put
I was going to mention, cool part of the Mavericks making the playoffs, obviously you have your Doncic situation. Dirk being in the playoffs for his last season would be awesome. And then that's also the case that potential free agents like DeAndre Jordan, who's on their team, are like, oh, if this team can get to the playoffs with what they have, imagine what they could do if they had me. Mm. So if you put, let's say, a Klay Thompson next to Luka Doncic.
Oh, lordy.
Right. Well, what if any of those, you know, high-profile guys...
I'm
blushing.
It wouldn't surprise me. They've got a good coach in Carlisle. They've
respected
got
coach.
A good young coach. Superstar. And the owner, he gets a bad rap, but he does look after his players. Early this year, right at the start of this year when Puerto Rico was flooding, he lent his private plane to Berea to go back to Puerto Rico to give a bunch of aid. Now, that's the kind of thing, if you're a player, that means something. You know, knowing that your owner has your back, even for, like, Berea is a good bit part player, but he is a bit part player for the most part. Comes off the bench, can play between 20 and 30 minutes, but... You know, to give him your jet and be like, go sort out your stuff, I think that's got to be appealing for someone that is looking for a new franchise to go to.
I do think Mark Cuban is generally pretty well...
I think in NBA circles, he's well-respected.
Well-respected, and just people appreciate what he is, just as an owner who's really invested in his team. Like, he rocks up to home games at, like, 3 p.m. to get up shots.
You know what I'm saying, though? Like, he's there's some negative articles.
There's a reason why he's given,
like
millions of dollars to the NBA just with fines.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason.
There was also the whole...
That's what I'm alluding to. But, yeah, we don't have to touch on that.
We can. We don't have to. The fact that he overlooked like a systemic, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heaps of sexual assault, heaps of porn on computers, that kind of stuff.
Right.
That's what the Mavericks was for almost a decade, allegedly.
Totally. I don't know if that affects players. I think players look at how he's going to help them.
How he treats, like, from player one to player 12.
Exactly.
You know? And
I hear Dallas is lovely. So,
Dallas is so nice.
So free agency destination, baby.
How far is it from Austin?
Ooh, it's like I want to say like a 3-hour drive.
Too far.
Yeah, but
I've just heard good things.
Dallas is really nice. It's also one of the bigger airports, and it's a stopover airport. If you stop at Fort Worth, no, I think it's Fort Worth. No, it's not. I don't know the name of the airport.
But it's, I think it's that was a really important part of your point, though.
So no. As in, follow up. That, no, as in, like, you can fly straight to Dallas from Sydney, for example.
Exciting.
Yeah.
So, what?
No, as in, it's easy to get to.
Yeah. Why does that matter?
Because you can get there quick. As in, if you're Ryan Rockoff, for example. I've got to go home. Oh, I don't want to do that stopover. Oh, Ryan, you don't have to.
Well, maybe you should ask Mark Cuban.
Doing
it sounds
improv
like
again.
It sounds like Cuban's just lending out his jet to anyone who asks. So maybe Brokoff should hit a couple
it's
threes.
It's Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. I bloody
hell. Nailed it. Before it. we move on, Doncic shares the ball a lot as well, which is something players are always looking at.
People like him. And he's also, can I just say, his antics are just the cutest things ever.
Yeah.
When DeAndre Jordan made that dunk and he was just
he got so excited for it.
It was like, I feel like it warms my heart when I see him happy.
Yeah.
And he's a child.
He's an actual
19.
Yeah.
An actual child. So the Mavericks are the sixth seed. Let's go to the East for a little bit. The Sixers. They've had their ups and downs. At the start of the season they had a lot of downs. They had some ups when Jimmy Butler first got there. Now Jimmy Butler's injured. They've lost two in a row at home. They've generally been quite good at home this season. First one was to the Nets, who appear to be their bogey team, which is really weird.
Spencer Dinwiddie.
Well, it took Jimmy Butler buzzer beater to beat them last time in Brooklyn. So
and they'd lost to them previously.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. They just can't stop D'Angelo Russell or Spencer Dinwiddie. It's really odd.
Which is something you need to work out.
They can't stop Spencer Dinwiddie and D'Angelo Russell. Spencer comes first.
Your weird love affair with Spencer Dinwiddie, I'm not going to...
Did he drop 33 that game?
39 off the bench.
Oh, my.
And then got,
a fat contract and then backed it up with 27 points. Spencer.
Great work, Spencey. Yeah. Great work, Spencey.
God, he just needs to collect himself.
So the Sixers...
I'm just so proud of him.
The Sixers have lost two straight. Yeah. Granted, they were both without Jimmy Butler.
Losing to the Pacers isn't that bad. They're 8-2 and
they won six in a row.
Sneaky good at the moment.
Right, they've won six in a row.
Yeah.
I think
8-2 over the last 10 is what I meant.
My take on this current Philly situation is that, like, no one should be surprised at all. Like, the Sixers this year compared to last year, there's less depth, there's less shooting. It's more dependent on superstars. So when you have your third superstar, the Sixers are good enough to beat anyone. When they don't have their third superstar, Joel Embiid put up, 40-21
like
40, or something?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
41 against the Pacers?
And 22 or something.
Yeah.
And Ben Simmons actually has had two pretty decent games.
He was like 18-8 or 18-9.
He's a bit more deferential than I think we'd like him to be, but still, those are two superstars having two really big games. There's just no one else.
Reddy got 22 points, but the next best scorer was 6.
Yeah,
their bench got smashed by Brooklyn.
They don't have the depth that they had last year. And so when Jimmy sits out, it makes perfect sense that they're not going to win games. And they go on these weird runs where they're up 10 and then they're suddenly tied and then they're up 10 again. And it generally just like ebbs and flows with weather and beads on the court, to be honest. But
yeah.
When Butler isn't in the fire for sure.
Yeah. I'm not hugely surprised by it.
Do you think losing the quality that they had on the bench from last year, that was short-sighted, or do you think it's a necessary evil to try and keep the current superstars on their books in the years to come? Or they were like, we can save some money here and bank on the young superstars we have improving between 3-6% over the next year, and that could get us over the line.
So I'm under the impression that they really wanted to get their three, you know, set. They wanted to have their three, you know, quote unquote max players set and then hopefully build around that and figure out how to do that. So they have that obviously in Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons and Jimmy Butler. They've yet to offer Ben Simmons a max contract. I'm starting to think, will they? I think they have no choice to, but I think it's becoming more of a question whether, you know, he's offered that.
Well, he's getting a max contract.
He's
so
getting
if Philly somewhere. Wants him to, you can't let a bet.
I think the Sixers do it, but I don't know why, but I get the feeling that maybe they're thinking about it a little bit more now.
I think the fact that Markel is almost definitely on his way out, I think you have to give Ben the max.
Yeah.
You can't let go of two number one picks.
Yeah, so then their thinking is, well, we can add a JJ Redick to that. Let's add pieces around this and that can win. I reckon that was what it was. I think that their thinking was that they couldn't win without just two of them, just Ben and Joel.
I think our take before the season started, and then once Jimmy got here, it's kind of remained the same. Like, they still probably need a bit more shooting. It's like as simple as that. Like, they, I don't know, the Kyle Korver trade was like, I think everyone in the room was like, that's who they need to go after. And
yeah, it made sense.
Utah got him. But wherever they find the shooting, they're not, I don't really see them competing with the top guys, the top teams in the East without actually.
We're talking doom and gloom. They're 19 and 11.
Exactly.
They'll improve as the year goes on. We need to remind ourselves they're, I know it was because the players they brought in, like we're talking about the bench, and the bench improved in the second half of last year, but the Sixers as a whole, Ben Simmons played his best basketball in the back end of last year. So if he can replicate that.
Yeah, and as I said, Jimmy being out is the only reason they kind of look bang average. And if anything,
that almost just shines a light on some of the issues and kind of, yeah, it gives us some.
Speaking of issues, when Butler came over, it didn't come up often how injured Butler's been over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
It's true. And now it's reared its head again. It's like, oh, is he injury prone? I mean, how is he 29 now? 28, 29?
Somewhere around there, probably.
Yeah, so hopefully, you know, when he comes back to the basketball court, we can see the best of Jimmy Butler for a prolonged amount of time.
But it also shines a light on the offseason where it's like, how much money, how many years do you offer a dude who is often injured? Especially when you have Joel Embiid, who obviously has his past issues. Ben sat out a season, if you want to look that far back. But that's a good point to bring up.
He's 29. So, it's Philly. Everyone's keen to watch them. They're a good talking point, and that's going to continue while they've got these three superstars.
Yeah, I think something to look out for at the end of the season is, I don't know why, but there seems to be this acceptance that Jimmy Butler will re-sign there. What if that doesn't happen? I think it's just as likely he doesn't resign there.
Yeah, I agree.
So that'll be something interesting to watch, especially just moving forward to this season.
All over it.
We mentioned the Pacers for a bit. Mm. They're playing really, really well. We can touch on them
as a team.
Totally, just coming together. Victor Oladipo is back into the lineup.
But even without him,
they've added him and they have that kind of go-to guy. They went to him a lot at the end of that Sixers game, just off pick and rolls, and him just hitting his mid-range jumpers because they couldn't defend that.
Yeah, I know it's a cliche. We talk about winning basketball a lot, but the Pacers play winning basketball. They have a lot of really good defenders that can stretch the floor, shoot, and then they have like their playmakers in between. And Miles Turner has decided to kind of start participating this season, which is kind of nice to see. Yeah, he got dominated by Embiid, but like most fives get dominated by Embiid. Before that, though, he had a couple like double-doubles in a row, and I don't think he had like 10 rebounds more than like a couple times prior to that. So he's finally kind of, I think, finding his role in the end in this version of the Pacers team. But yeah, Nate McMillan like deserves a lot of credit for this, because they have one borderline superstar.
Yeah.
And they look
who could put align himself in the MVP chat if he played a full stellar season.
I think Oladipo is still kind of a 1B superstar, and I don't know if he will become like a fully fledged one, but that's regardless of the point. Like they're competing with the best teams in the East without a genuine superstar. You look at every other team around them and they all have the guy or a couple guys even.
Yeah.
So they might be the deepest roster in the NBA. In terms of, like, you look at their bench, you've got Tyreek Evans coming off the bench.
Sabonis
who had, like, what, a double-double in, like, first quarter against the Sixers or something ridiculous?
Big double-double he finished with. Bojan Bogdanovic is just...
Yeah, they've got players coming out the wazoo. Well,
last year, though, was 0 wins, 7 losses in games Victor Oladipo didn't play.
Yeah.
This year, the 11 games he's missed, they've won 7, lost 4. They've got the second best defense in the NBA at the moment. A large part of that, Thaddeus Young, fair to say, is having his best season.
Thaddeus Young's having a good.
Yeah, they proper shut down Giannis when they played him.
Yeah, yeah.
He had 12 points against them.
Yeah, and that was basically big Thad. And to go with that, he also scored 25 points, got 11 rebounds and 4 assists. The only neg on the Pacers so far this year is, are we saying that?
We can say neg. It's just a 5 and
a half. I'm just wondering why you shortened it.
Yeah. Because, I'm hip. Okay.
it's not like one of those like PR people that like have like really annoying.
Yeah, I'll run it up the flagpole.
Yeah.
See if we can get some bites. It's,
what's the negative?
Yes. Oh yeah. The neg. It's, 5 wins, 7 losses versus teams above 500, but most of those were without Victor Oladipo. Mm. And while we're on that Bucks game, Vio only got 12 points in a win against one of the powerhouses of the NBA.
Mm.
And they won
That's what I mean. Like, I feel like
points or something,
the difference with Oladipo and other superstars is that the Pacers, like, don't, like, it helps when he has 25 plus, but they can win when he, yeah, when he puts up 12.
Kind of reminds me of Toronto when Kawhi isn't playing.
Mm.
You look
their
at the
system. Yeah.
You look at the team and it's like, why are they beating the Warriors? You know, when you just look at the names on paper and it's like, then you look at it and it's like, they're smashing the Warriors.
Again, though, Indiana, like Toronto, if they don't have Kawhi, is a team that will do really well in the regular season because they'll try harder and they have a system in place and they've got guys that can score in the regular season and depth, which helps in the regular season. Playoff time, it's all very different. So we don't really know that this Pacers team is going to translate to postseason basketball. But right now...
But all our podcasts between now and then are relevant.
Yes. just a little... Yeah.
So at this point, you know, a lot of people would probably have Nick Nurse as coach of the year. And then I feel like most people would have had Mike Budenholzer as second. I think it's reasonable to say that Budenholzer and Nate McMillan are probably 2A and 2B as far as second, because their records are almost identical.
Yeah.
And just the way they're playing is, you know, big shout out to both of those coaches.
And how much?
Those two things.
Like, we've read some stats on how the Pacers have improved without Victor Oladipo, and the Bucks have just improved out of sight in comparison to the Jason Kidd team.
I mean, I feel like Budenholzer, of course, deserves credit, but like,
he's not the one.
It was just so obvious what they needed to do. It was like the only man in...
You could have turned the Bucks around.
Exactly. It's like the only man in basketball that didn't
believe...
I was
joking. You took that very seriously. Yes.
I feel like the only man in basketball that didn't agree that the Bucks needed to have a bunch of shooters around Giannis was Jason Kidd. And so someone came in and you like pressed like there was like a big red button, right? And it just said like, press here for like wins. And he just like pressed it and it worked. And so like, yeah, he deserves credit, but like also like, yeah, I could have told them to go stand
outside. What do you think Jason Kidd was doing in there? He's pressing the other button.
He was like, pressing like the one that like...
Cleared. Hey, Giannis, can you come over and knock over my cup?
It said like out of order and he just like kept pressing it. And he was like, I expect different results.
This isn't in the rundown, boys, but while we're giving out lollipops, have you seen what Drew Holiday's doing this year?
Good
numbers
things.
Wise? Yeah.
Good things.
Like, only 7 times has any player averaged 21 points and 8 assists on 40% shooting or better. And those players are Oscar, Will Chamberlain, Jerry West, Magic, Jordan, LeBron James and CP3, and that's where Drew Holiday is at the moment.
And I think he's sitting second behind Lowry in assists per game.
Yeah.
When we saw that list the other day, we were kind of surprised that he was there, just because he's not a name we usually see.
Do you still think defender?
Mm. Right.
He
was good in the playoffs.
Yeah, he's a genuine star.
Last season, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So while we're on giving people shout-outs, I thought that's noteworthy because that's some pretty good company. And by the way, Oscar Robinson did that 7 times.
he's very good.
Yeah.
Or had really bad opposition.
Yeah, but
for another, you
but also for they didn't even care so much about the numbers then, but he still put them up.
Yeah. Like, someone who is putting up numbers, but really made a fool of himself this week was Stephen Curry. We're going to talk about this for the tiniest bit.
Okay, I have a opposing or conspiracy theory to the Steph Curry conspiracy theory drama, which is that Steph Curry obviously was joking. And that's what he said. That's the cover-up, essentially. You guys don't believe it. I know you guys think that he was serious.
Hogan gets...
I just don't.
Gets so touchy when any shade starts to cover Steph Curry.
No, but it's like, okay, Steph Curry is not an idiot.
No, he's not.
No, he's not. He's.
I don't think you have to be an idiot to have doubt on the... I believe humans landed on the moon. Calm down. But I don't think you have to be an idiot.
No, on that. Yeah, we've all been down that YouTube wormhole where it's like they're showing the shadows and they're like, there wouldn't be two opposing shadows. This is clearly coming from lighting.
Does anyone care about my theory?
You ready? I'm so interested in your theory.
I think both things are true. The fake moon landing and the moon. Because Richard Nixon was president of the United States when they landed on the moon. Right? Communications, as far as human communications, had never gone...
He was a great guy.
Yeah, communications had never gone that far. Imagine if NASA and the White House heard that we have successfully landed on the moon, but we can't get the footage. And instead of seeing... Armstrong land, you know, one small step. You just got Richard Nixon on the camera being like, well, we've landed. We've landed. Trust me. But
I'm also not a crook.
But
cross both those things. Yeah.
But the cameras couldn't connect. I think the fake moon landing was a contingency in case communications failed and they couldn't get the footage out there, right? And when people got wind, like classified or not, that there was a fake moon landing, everyone thought that no way did they land on the moon. I think both things are true.
There was some theory that there was like some radiation belt that they wouldn't have been able to get the cameras through without losing the footage and whatnot. Like, I feel like we're going down. We're going down a hole right now. We're talking about conspiracy theories.
I don't know what has happened. I'm
but
sorry.
Yes, Steph Curry got himself, in a bit of a hole, and Sacramento made fun of him.
It was so great.
Yeah.
It was really fun.
Even he enjoyed it.
So they played the moon landing vision as he was being introduced in Sacramento.
With like a child song about the moon. It's like moon, moon, moon is something ridiculous.
We haven't been back though.
We're
since like you, we went back what? Since the original one, but like
his face.
In like 40 years we haven't been back.
But we're not leaving this run. When Steph Curry says we haven't been to the moon or whatever iteration of that he said, I understand if you think that we faked the first moon landing, or at least we faked the video of it. I'm not on board with you because that's still an absurd thing to believe.
You know who wasn't on board either?
No, I'm sorry.
There we go.
No, so look, I'm not on board with that because again, that's not reasonable to believe that. However, I can twist my mind to think that it's not an like completely unreasonable thing to think. To think that we haven't been since, because the fact that
We haven't. There've been a couple other times, like in like the end of the 1960s, but I'm pretty sure, or maybe the start of the 1970s, we actually haven't been back since, like humans.
But I'm just saying that to think that we can't do it, or that that we haven't sent things there. I just think that's absurd not to think that we don't have that capability.
We do. It's just that
now we do.
The US is spending 25% of their GDP on going to the moon. And it's a tough sell if you're going to spend a quarter of your country's money to a place you've already been.
Not if it's to shit on Russia, which is like
I feel
the
like
main
there's enough.
Now, but now they're buddies. Russia and America.
They're not buddies.
All right,
he's a buddy.
Remember basketball?
Like, I was going to say. I feel like we're still on topic right now.
Yeah, I just think it's really
send us your thoughts on the moon landing conspiracy theory.
I just think it's dangerous for Steph Curry to do that because that's really anti-intellectual, and he does have an effect on children and the way they use their critical thinking.
A serious point on that. Mike Wilborn and Tony Kornheiser both went after Steph Curry hard. They went after the next thing.
Colleagues too, Mark Spears and Jalen Rose also said it.
The next thing
is Jalen Rose, the voice of reason.
Yeah, please. But yeah, the things they compared it to was like denying history, some other historical things. They went after Steph hard, and I wouldn't be surprised if that had something to do with Steph reacting the way he did. And he reacted perfectly.
He used it as a learning moment, moment.
And told kids to go and source information for yourself. Don't just believe everything you see.
Critical thinking. It's very important.
Mm.
Onto the stage now. Guy Natalovitz will give us his rendition of All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey. presumably he can do it better than she can now because she got bad. I'm kidding. I saw her in Vegas. She's great.
I don't know where this little joke has come from. This was not discussed at all.
It's just the
Ogun's on this like improv train where he's just like, I'm just going to make things happen in here.
Trying to make theater happen, to be honest.
It's like, almost like Harrison is his silent handler or something. Yeah. It's completely different when Harrison's
the logic has left the room and now it's just us three.
It's an improv party.
I have free reign to host an improv party.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay. He's not going to do that just because he's not a team player. However, So Christmas is around the corner. I hope you've all bought your Christmas trees, guys. Now, we have to talk about what we want for Christmas.
Yeah.
With regard to the NBA, for this is an NBA podcast. So, we veer off, but we come back.
Me. Go me first.
Ted.
Hey.
What is it that all you want for Christmas? Is that how to word that?
This one.
What do you want for Christmas?
But you did it anyway.
It's borderline. What's that? A German word like Schadenfreude? Wishing when you enjoy misery, the misery of others.
Sure.
Anyway, that's what I want for.
That's either that or it's a butterfly.
I want a Matt Barnes versus Derek Fisher type saga to sweep through the Golden State Warriors. Bring some.
Ted's arms, like,
flailing is the right word.
there was sweeping involved, I think.
I want the NBA playoffs to be a level playing field, and the only way that can happen is if there's some proper, like, TMZ juicy drama to take through Oakland.
So not just Draymond Green, Kevin Durant having a disagreement.
No, that's
on the other personal, one,
mate. Yeah,
proper.
Yeah, they're going to have to blow it up because that's the only thing that can stop the Warriors.
Can we also say, though, the only thing that could really blow up the Warriors is not personal stuff between Draymond or Clay and them with the other stars. It's got to be between Steph and KD.
Ooh, what about Steph and anyone?
Steph's so lovely.
But I feel like everyone else can, like, Steph's relationship with the rest of the roster is perfect. The
it's only one a that it could. Ridiculous hypothetical, yeah.
The only one it could kind of, you could see it falling apart with is KD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's in KD doesn't have a wife or a significant other to my knowledge.
Yeah. What's that got to do with anything?
It's Wanda.
It's Wanda.
It's Wanda.
It's Wanda. It's Wanda Durant. It's the mom.
Yeah. So, okay. Okay.
This is our theory.
So that's the catalyst.
Our thinking was, imagine if Steph Curry went over to Wanda Durant's house for a nice meal.
Oh,
Aisha's all like, hey, baby, I cook you meals.
Oh,
and then
that's
and then,
not out of my cookbook.
Mm-hmm. And then like he brings Riley, and Riley's like playing with Wanda.
Yeah.
And then Wanda goes out and tweets just like, oh, I just had Steph Curry over. He's the real MVP.
Oh, that'd do it. That'd do it.
That's the dagger.
So and Steph's the only person that could win over KD's mum. You know, I mean, how could he not?
Well, Steph's lovely. Other than everything we just maligned him for earlier.
Yeah.
I didn't malign you, Steph.
He's otherwise lovely. I Googled Matt Barnes, Derek Fisher, and the headline in the New York Post is Matt Barnes drove 95 miles to beat the shit out of Derek Fisher.
That's what I want.
So that's what you want to happen here.
Yeah.
Well, Derek, you know, it'll be a bit closer because
it won't take
the same
that long.
Team in the same
in Matt Barnes' defense, Derek Fisher did take his kids to the movies.
he's engaged to Matt Barnes' ex-wife.
It's so disrespectful.
Yeah.
Or at least in
April.
I think
that's what set it off. Matt, like, he's like, you're not taking my kids.
I take them to the Invincibles.
What if Kevin Durant took Riley? If Kevin Durant took Riley and the other one,
Ryan? No.
It was another cool name.
It's another R.
It was something to do with shooting, actually. I remember.
Repetition.
If Kevin Durant took those kids to the movies, I feel like they'd be like, oh, Kevin, good, you're doing things for others. That's great. Like, I feel like that's...
Can you imagine sitting behind KD at the movies? Filthy. Do they go to the movies? They do. They just get heckled.
No, they have like cinemas in their own house.
That's true.
Fair dude.
Yeah.
Oh, what a dream.
I don't want to talk about this too much, but Derek Fisher is now the coach of the LA Sparks, which is absurd.
Yeah.
That makes no sense at all. He wasn't a good coach in the NBA. What makes anyone think he could be a good coach?
I see what you're saying. That's insulting to the women's league to be like, this subpar coach should be able to coach your team.
As in just like, what?
Well, I doubt they're selling it like that, but yeah. I guess it's just an LA thing. He's a famous basketball character
along with the
in the city.
Totally, but it just makes
sense. He's a pleasant dude. He's a good chat.
I'm just saying that there are definitely good coaches out there.
I haven't spoke to him myself, but he was like,
he seems good. Like Matt Barnes doesn't like him, but like he seems like a nice dude.
And rightly so,
has anger issues.
But it just seems as though like there are definitely people, you know, working their way up
more with regard.
Like, there's people in college who are in, like, coaching women's basketball in college who are probably more than qualified to have that job. Why give it to Derek Fisher? It just seems odd. Gutty, what do you want for Christmas?
All right. Well, on Tuesday, when Santa comes into the office, because he will be here on Tuesday.
Oh, he will.
And I'm excited.
Is that real?
Yeah. Okay. No, it's really happening.
There's no kids work here, though.
No, but they've told everyone to bring their kids.
God is.
So I'll bring my 7. I have no children. I will lean in to Santa and say, hey, Santa. this is way too convoluted, so I'm going to stop this. But basically,
I like what I've done.
you brought improv and drama to this podcast. No, what mine isn't like, it's not one thing really. It's essentially, in the past, I like to think of myself as someone that knew exactly what the general things that were going to happen in the NBA. If there was a game, I'm like, that team's better than that team, so they should win. And if they didn't win, it was an upset. And you'd get excited for certain fixtures coming up because you were like, hey, that's one really good team against another really good team. I don't know anything anymore because everyone's the same. Yeah. There's no real like powerhouses. I mean, the Golden State Warriors are always going to be that because even if their record doesn't suggest it, they do have the best team in the NBA. But there's no like Warriors versus Spurs or Warriors versus Rockets because everyone's the same. And while that is kind of weirdly exciting for the first quarter of the season, which it has been because everyone is good, and all the games are competitive, it kind of loses its shtick eventually. And you're like, no, but I want to really look forward to like the Friday game when the Warriors host the Rockets. And it's a precursor to the NBA, like the Western Conference Finals. So we don't know anything. So we can't get excited about what certain fixtures might mean.
So you're saying it's like the fact that there's so much parity means that it takes away from the blockbuster game.
Exactly. It's almost like the regular season needs those big narratives, but if everyone's the same, those narratives don't really exist. Like even in the East, we're struggling because like, yeah, Boston are finding some form now, but they've been like terrible up to this point and they aren't really exciting. And when those teams match up, it's like, yeah, this is cool, but like, I don't know if these are the two teams that are going to be there. And like, we complained a lot in the past 5 years about knowing who was going to be in the Western Conference Finals and the Eastern Conference Finals with LeBron and who was going to be in the NBA Finals. But at least like during the regular season, there was a lot to get excited about. And while this parity and this competitiveness has been really fun to cover through the first quarter, third of the season, it's now becoming a bit like, okay, but who's good? Yeah. Like, who's good?
I feel like Santa would just be like, how about a bike?
Yeah, I mean, like,
you can tell God he doesn't usually do Christmas.
Yeah. Hanukkah rolls.
I hadn't thought of it that way, but you're absolutely right. Like last year we got so many glimpses of what the playoffs, like previews of what the finals of each conference was going to look like. Because we kind of knew it was going to be Celtics-Cavs. Even though Raptors were spicy throughout the regular season, it was like...
And we knew it was going to be Rockets-Warriors. Exactly. So every time they played, there was this anticipation. The closest thing I think we've had is, in terms of fixture-wise, has been Warriors-Raptors. But the first time they played the Raptors was without Steph, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, and absolutely. The second time it was without Kawhi. Yeah. So it's like we haven't even gotten that, really.
Yeah. And to fuel what you're saying, sorry, mate, but like... It wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility for, say, the Grizzlies to finish fourth and the Spurs to finish fifth, right? Mm. Even from now. But now they're sitting at 7th and 11th, or we could be watching a finals preview without even, like a playoffs preview, without even knowing who's in there. And you know, Rockets could end up finishing third.
Yeah.
Right, but now they're 12th, so it's hard to get enthusiastic about a team that's sitting at 500 four spots out of a playoff spot.
Yeah,
so,
and like I know it should, like over the season, it should spread out and stuff, but like my fear with the West is that we're going to get to a point where like there's 10 games left to go and seeds 2 to 10.
That's going to be good the last 2 weeks of the NBA.
It's going to be exciting, but we still won't know who's actually really good and who's not. And that might be because everyone's pretty much at the same level, but I don't know if that's a good thing.
Because then that'll also be like, a good team will not make the playoffs.
Yeah, but it'll also be like when two teams face off in the playoffs, it'll be like, yeah, okay, but that's just a better matchup for that team and that's why they won because whatever. Yeah. I feel weird complaining about this because I know it's been a major sense of like
someone
frustration.
We've been asking for
exactly. Yeah. I feel like for years there's been a sense of frustration because we're like, everyone knows what's going to happen. There's too many good teams, blah, blah, blah. Well, there's not enough good teams, sorry.
Yeah.
But now we're at a point where like I find it hard to get excited about these because they're all like in the Western Conference from 1 to 14, everyone is close. So it's like, what are you actually getting excited about there? You're just watching two good basketball teams play basketball, but there's no ramifications because it's all so tight anyway.
Yeah, if anything, we're just waiting for the playoffs to start, right?
Yeah, essentially.
which is, yeah, it's, we're just going.
Which makes, but like it, I said earlier, our podcast is relevant from here. But that's all what I'm saying.
It makes the regular season harder to get on board with, because it's kind of like, well, like let's have a bit of meaning to these games. Right now, it's hard to tell what is meaningful.
Last year had some flow. This year feels like a bit of a washing machine. But yeah, you know, I'm okay with it as well.
For
like,
now,
I get what you're saying in terms of individual matchups and their importance throughout the regular season. That's not there. Like when Golden State met the Rockets four times in the regular season last year, that's not there. But I do like competitive balance. And again, I hadn't thought of it, but the last 2 weeks of this NBA season could be like nothing we've seen.
Yeah,
you know, with potentially 25 teams vying for 16 playoff spots. So,
no, I like that. I agree, and that's one of that almost kind of bleeds into one of the things I wanted for Christmas. I had one,
blood.
I had one fun one and one like serious one. The serious one quickly is I want the East to be good. Like right now, like
wait a couple years.
Like when you look at the seedings, if you the eighth seed is the Magic, they're 14-15. They're in the playoffs. When you go down to the West, like the Rockets are 14-14. So they would be just almost in the playoffs in the East.
Mm.
Yeah.
But the fact that there's just nothing there is just really frustrating. And
their top five's good.
The top five is really good. Like it genuinely is. And they're the kind of teams where if they've faced any of these Western Conference teams, that's a fun game.
And all those five teams, if they're in the West, they'd back themselves to get into the top four by the end of the season.
Right. And again, I know it's early and this will probably all change and whatever.
No, everything means nothing. What are we doing here?
I'm going home.
It's just like there's just such a clear discrepancy, like a clear difference between the top five teams and then the rest.
Mm.
Yeah.
That it just gets a bit frustrating. And not that it makes it hard to watch. It just makes it hard to see these Western Conference teams that are so good
not
involved in postseason basketball.
The bottom third of the East is trash. That's the problem.
Oh, like, very much so.
Like Hawks, Bulls, Cavs, Knicks. Definitely the bottom four, because the Wizards, even though they're 11-18, we spoke that they got some talent. But that bottom four, if you lose to them, like the Spurs did earlier today, mind you, who were on a four-game win streak, what are you doing there? You got to sort yourself out.
Mm.
So the final thing I want for Christmas, just because like I haven't seen it before, or not in a long time, I just want Ben Simmons to hit a three-pointer.
Did you see the video?
I did see the video.
I said it the other day. Like, you know, I bet Ben Simmons hits open shots all the time when he's practicing.
He totally does. I just want to see him hit one in a game.
I want to go the opposite, though. I just want to see Ben just like a big F you to everyone that wants him to hit a three and just not even try. Not for the next like 5 years.
Pump fake every three just, as well, even though everyone knows he's not going
to
shoot.
I wanted to release a video every offseason of him getting better and better and better to the point where he's hitting step back threes in like in 5-on-5 runs, like in that weird gym where they all play in the offseason and sleep and eat and stuff. Yeah. And I want him to look ridiculously good and then still not do it and just be like, I've got this in the back.
Just a big old middle finger.
I hate you all.
An all-time rope-a-dope.
Yeah.
It's that, and then I want Dante Exum to get minutes that is adjacent to how he's playing, just because his minutes seem to be completely all over the place. They have been since he got to Utah. And it just has no bearing how he plays. If he plays well, he may play 2 minutes that game and then 10 minutes the next game and then get a DMP the one after that. Yeah. I just want Dante. Our Dante just to get some decent minutes.
That ties into what the Jazz are doing, though. Like they're just, you know, a bit messy.
They're just trying to
get all over the show.
Yeah, I don't think they know what works yet.
Yeah, which is annoying me. I just want that for Christmas, Santa, please.
So much.
That's so nice, though. Like, you want something. Dante to be happy for Christmas.
Mm.
That's beautiful, Olga.
Yeah. Dante's lovely.
and he's like, what, a 6'5 point guard? There's lots of potential there.
Right. So 6'6 point guard.
6'6.
Even more potential.
Just like Spencer.
Oh, back to Dimwitty. Always right. Back.
We're going to, for Christmas, I want you to just get out of my life.
I can make that happen.
Heavy.
If there are things you want for Christmas, please let us know. We have social media pages.
But no power in making it happen.
not at all. But Santa's coming on Tuesday, so we'll put in a good word for you once Scotty's done speaking.
Can I do one more?
Well,
want everyone who had a great time listening to this pod to leave a like and a review and stuff. I don't know how it works. Do they leave reviews? Leave a five-star review on iTunes.
Go to Apple Podcasts, go to Spotify.
What are you doing?
You can rate, review, It'll make Gotti really happy.
Yeah.
Someone left us a 4-star review and said it would have been 5-star if I sang the intro.
We've spoken about this. Your friend is a dickhead for saying that.
Yeah.
I assume it's a friend of yours, and it's
Why is it a friend of mine?
Because why would a friend of mine want you to sing the theme song?
Why would a non-friend comment that?
Right.
Well, to clarify, not my friend.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, that's just like...
Okay, well, man or female that left 4-star rating.
I'm offended that you find it so hard to believe that someone out there could potentially like a hypothetical singing voice that I may have.
Can we talk about the difference between a 4 and a 5-star? That's 100% or 80%, if my math is correct.
As in 20%. It stops us from having a 5-star rating.
Yeah, you terrible human.
Like, if you do that for Uber, because like the Uber driver didn't sing... All I want for Christmas is you.
You got to be
a wild flog for me not to give you 5 stars in Uber. Like, I've had arguments with Uber drivers and get out, man.
But for the future, if you have like constructive criticism, leave the 5-star rating and then say like, would have given you 6. would have done that, or just like come to us on Twitter and stuff. We make a lot of mistakes. So bring it up on Twitter where our ratings and reviewings aren't affected.
There we go. Please. We're all on Twitter.
Just get involved. Just get involved.
Right, we're all on Twitter. Our main Twitter is @FoxBasketball. We're on Facebook @FoxSportsBasketball. Please follow everything we do. We also write about basketball a lot at our website,
Fox. Yeah, Ogun likes to say that he writes about basketball and then he introduces everyone else as though we're just like these like vagrants that come in off the road. I also write about basketball and other sports.
I'm an intern. I just get caught.
I can't introduce everyone.
I mean, you could. Things. You could. You could.
That's code for I can only introduce me.
It's like, I'm the only one that matters.
On that note.
We should end this like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. Join us next week. If you don't hear us then, we'll see you before Christmas.
Yeah, 23rd.
We'll catch drop you before on 23rd. Christmas.
Oh, we got a fun episode coming on the 23rd.
It'll drop on the 24th. We'll record on the 23rd.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fasten your seatbelts.
Whatever the case, have a good holiday. We'll see you next week. See you guys.
Bye.